133. I was as I was seeking the Lord on what to bring to the body of Christ, a word of exhortation. The Lord led me to Psalm 133, and the topic of this sermon is the spirit of teamwork. The spirit of teamwork, and we know that our New Testament church is preparing the way for the greater and for God's presence to continue to manifest in our lives. And we thank God that his presence is manifesting in our lives even now. And I'm a witness of that. I thank God for the leaders that we have in this church, for Pastor Justin and his family. We thank God for the founder of New Testament Christian Center. We'll be celebrating the 40th anniversary. And we thank God for Pastor Pat and Elaine, for all they have done as well. And we don't take that for granted. So going on, we're going to start with Psalm 123. And as we study, I just want us to focus on, the Lord has given me a word for this morning, and the word is unity. So you can write that word down, unity. So verse 1 through 3, we'll read the whole psalm. I think it's one of the shortest psalms. I think there's another one that's got like two verses, another psalm. But this one says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I mean, that should put a smile in our face. Sometimes we read the text, we read the scriptures, but we don't really know what it's referring to. So this morning, I pray that the Lord will give me the spirit of wisdom and a revelation to bring this enlightenment unto all here who are present under the sound of his voice. It also says it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of his Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. And listen to the last verse on the scripture says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Praise God. So I like that. I mean, as we walk in unity, and a lot of times we hear the word unity and we're just thinking about unity amongst one another, which is very important and which is going to be mentioned here this morning. But also I want to look at this word unity in a twofold. And first and foremost, we got to know that we sing the songs, you know, how wonderful the name of Jesus and the power there is in the name of Jesus. But Jesus did all of that for us. You know, he came to be an example of what God the Father intended for us and how for us to live today on this earth. And I think we're kind of falling short of that. So if we open our Bibles to John 17 and 11. And it is very important that we continue. I encourage you to open the Bible. This is the problems that we're having throughout the body of Christ today. The devil has come to steal. Oh, you don't need to read the word. You already know it. Oh, you already read it once. Well, guess what? This is everlasting knowledge. And God will continue to go from glory to glory. And we'll continue to learn things. And God continue to reveal things to us every day. And I thank God for the light and the knowledge that God has given me. But I feel like sometimes, like, man, I want more. Like, I feel like I don't know anything. And I thank God that for the little bit that he has given me, I'm being faithful to that. And I'm putting that to practice. And that's what we need to do. Okay, so in John 17, 11, shortly before he went to the cross. Now, this is the teaching Jesus right before the cross. So this has very great significance. Jesus prayed for unity among his followers, okay? Among his followers. And notice also in Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together." So this is relating to the body of Christ. You know, unity within the body of Christ. Because we can't be united with unbelievers, because they're not going to think according to God's heart and purpose for our lives and their lives. And that's why we come amongst their midst and we try to help them, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they may grasp God's truth and God's blessings that he has already provided for them. So shortly before he went to the cross, Jesus prayed for unity among his followers. But this is in this word unity, this is why I said there's a twofold meaning. So it says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. We sing the power of the name of Jesus. Now, I mean, the power of the name of Jesus has been so diluted that people are even scared to mention it. But the believers are, they're not afraid to mention it, the name of Jesus. Any little thing that happens, they say, oh, Jesus, or Jesus. They mention it more than us. Well, why? Because we've been desensitized to the power that is in the name of Jesus. But let me tell you something. All power is revealed and abides within that name. And you can continue to exercise over every situation in your life, and God will manifest himself strongly on your behalf. The name you gave me, the rest of the verse in John 17:11, the name you gave me, so listen to this, so that they be one as we are one. So this is the word, and this is what I want you to see today, the unity of us being one with God the Father and God the Son. I think as we walk with Christ and we grow with Christ, and as we read the scriptures, we grow into this. We grow, the Bible says that we're growing into his image and into his statue. So when you read that, it says that we may be one, that they may be one as we are one. Are we kind of falling short of that? Because, you know, a lot of people, they look at themselves, you know, according to the flesh. But if you're looking to yourself according to the Spirit, God has made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, things have passed away. Behold, things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And as Jesus was in this world, the Bible says that so are we. So why would this take a great significance in our lives, and it will cause us to change? Because this will allow us now to live and to be a pattern how Jesus lived. Jesus went about what? Doing good, right? Overcoming temptation. He came around taking the mask off Satan and letting Satan know that, you know, you're no longer in charge here. You know, I'm a son of God. You know, when Satan was he was harassed in the Garden of Eden. You know, he was tormented all throughout his life, and he's still tormented. You know, one of the threats that God put upon Satan when Adam and Eve fell, it was that the seed of the woman will bruise his head, meaning it will break your power. So he went throughout history trying to figure who that was. He tried Abraham, and he tried Noah, and he tried Moses and Isaac and Jacob and so forth until he got to Jesus. And then one of the questions that he asked Jesus, are you the Son of God? Because he knew that somebody was coming to break his power. And Jesus has come to break his power, so now we can be free from the powers of Satan, and we can live a new life in Christ Jesus. So we can live righteously, and we can live holy, and we can overcome, and we can help one another as we walk in unity. Okay? So keep that in mind. Later on in the same prayer, Jesus asks, and this is in John 17:21-23. Jesus asks that all of them may be one. This is why Jesus came. His desire is that we be one, one with him, that we be set apart, that we be a peculiar people, that we be endued with power. And that power, you first start seeing it manifest in your own life, how it changes you, how, you know, you start developing the character and the manifold wisdom of God within your life. A lot of times people see, oh, yeah, I got the power, and they're going out to, you know, go to heal the sick, which the power is still there to heal the sick and to raise the dead and so forth. But they neglect the power that's first and foremost supposed to be received to allow them to conform to the image and to the statue of Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God. He goes on to say that they may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Can we just read that again? Just as you are in me and I am in you. Have you ever really pondered on that scripture and as you're fellowshipping with God. And if you haven't, it's still not too late. Today is the day of salvation. Pastor Justin's been talking about that, the appointed time. Today is your appointed time. As we go further and we go to prepare the word, we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. One of the things that rob us from receiving and from being who we are in Christ Jesus is condemnation. You don't know what I did in the past. Perhaps you don't know how I feel. Perhaps you don't know what I'm thinking right now. But guess what? The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We need to start to be spiritual minded. We need to be spiritual minded. The word of the Lord says in John chapter 16, verse 23, it says, the word is spirit and it's life. So to be spiritual minded, you got to walk according to the scriptures. When you start doing the scriptures, being a doer of what the written word of God states, our Heavenly Father, then the Spirit is there to back it up and to strengthen you. The grace of God, what teaches us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live what? Soberly and righteously here on this earth. And as we live soberly and righteously here on this earth, then we can be what? Vessels of honor and fit for the master's use. And God wants to use every one of us here today. Pastor Justin, he's been saying, preparing the way. Are we really united with one another? We need to get our differences alike. The doctrines that we grew up, whether it be, Baptist, some Methodist, some. No, we are sons and daughters of God. We follow the word of God. This is why there's so much division and we're not doing the work of the Lord. And this unity I'm going to get into later is if we all get in one accord and in one mindset, the word says it and that settles it. We're going to attack this differently and our approach is going to be victorious. And our outcome is going to be, for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Every chance that I get to come before the body of Christ, or any chance that I get to be able to minister the works, the finished works of Jesus Christ, I take opportunity of it. Because I don't know whose life is at stake here. And by the end of this service, the Lord is going to minister. And all you have to do is just, Lord, I receive. All you have to do, the Bible says, all things are possible. What? If you believe. Father God, I believe. The woman with the issue of blood, after she, for 12 years, she was seeking. I'm pretty sure she went to some places they talked about Jesus. She probably didn't receive anything. But the Bible says, but when she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed that hour. Because she said, no, I know I've been hearing. We've been coming to churches, some been in this longer than I. We've been hearing the gospel, we've been hearing about the power of the Holy Ghost. We've been hearing about signs and wonders. We've been hearing about angels and protection. We've been hearing about God's delivering his people from Egypt. And now what kind of, would he do it for me? No, if you may just touch, we got to what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must know that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So are you expecting a reward? Are you expecting your healing? Are you expecting your bills to be paid? Are you expecting for your mind to be renewed so you be able to be conformed to the image and to the statue of Christ so we can be about our Father's business? Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. Could that be the statement of New Testament church today? Going back to that precious and most powerful verse, just as you are in me and I in you, may they be what? Also be in us. So he wants us to be just like him. The Bible talks about children obey or imitate your father as dear children. Are we imitating our Heavenly Father on a day-to-day basis? Are we being spiritual minded? Are we being faith minded? He created the world through faith. The just should live by faith. We've received by faith. So how can we walk any, course, any minute, second of the day with something that's not pertaining to faith? You got to be faith minded. Everything you do, whether it be, I know there's some professors here, some doctors, teachers, everything that you do, Father, give me the wisdom for today. You know, give me the ability which is already in me. Let me learn how to let it flow and manifest so I can do what I need to do here on earth. Whether it be children, youth, going to school. You know, we depend on the power of the Holy Spirit for everything. Call upon Him. And He's there to help us at every given time. Sometimes I think that we're even letting that go. Instead of calling on to the Holy Spirit, we're calling on to our neighbor and trying to get a word of encouragement. But guess what? We see that throughout history. You know, when David, they went in there to Ziklag, they destroyed the whole city. That was a good opportunity for him to say, hey, Pastor Pat, what do you think about this? How can I go about this? No, the Bible talks about that. He went before the Lord and he encouraged himself. And the Lord told him what to do. He told him what? He told him to pursue and to recover all that he has done. And this is in the era that we're living. God wants us to recover all, that when the Son of Man comes, that he may find faith in the church. And I thank God, my brothers and sisters, when you come, let's grow together. There's youth groups. There's women Bible studies. There's Wednesday nights. There's Sunday. Let's take this time serious. If you want to be overcomer, then you have to study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, a man that need not to be ashamed of the truth. There's so many blessings. God is just reaching out to us every morning here. What do you want me to do this morning? And a lot of us are just pushing their hands aside. And then the devil's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and they're embracing all that junk. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's the attitude that you got to have. You know, when it comes to sickness, you know, diseases, I know it's hard. I've fought with sicknesses. I have fought with diseases. I have fought with depression. I have fought with all of that until I really got a grasp of the truth. And then I said, Lord, you took my infirmities and you bore my sickness. You see, you take a different approach. It's not what Sister So-and-so told you. It's not what Brother John told you. It's what the Holy Spirit has told you. By his stripes, you are healed. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that the Bible says that the word of God is medicine unto our flesh, and we have to apply that. That's why the word of God says that faith, without faith, it's impossible to please. Whatever you believe the most is what's going to come out of your mouth. And that is going to be a witness to God the Father and the angels. And he's going to bring it to pass. And if you start, talking all this negativity, then you're going to bring that to pass as well. You know, the story of Job, everybody talks about Job. When you study the book of Job, at the end of the book, he says, Lord, you know, show me and how I have erred from the words of my mouth. And then the Lord told him, everything that you have said of me has been foolishness, foolishness. He thought that he was speaking right. He thought, one of the things that I like about Job, and that's what we need to do, is stand firm that no matter what, having done all, like Paul, he stand firm on the promises of God, and God came through him. And at the end, when God came through for Job, well, he blessed him, what, twice as much as he had. So God doesn't mind you being blessed. God doesn't mind in restoring you. We can see that in his promises. But one of the things about Job and what brought disaster to his life, if you study the scriptures very carefully, the Bible talks about that the very things that he feared came upon him. That's why I say, when God comes to Satan, he say he's already in your hand. He already opened up. You know, the serpent won't bite you unless you open up a hedge to it. Let's keep those doors closed. We are sons and daughters of God. And God came to redeem us from being molested from an intruder, the devil. Amen. Let this mind be in Christ, which was, the Bible says, let this mind be in Christ, which was in Christ, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, quote the scriptures for yourself. Believe the scriptures. And then do the scriptures. So the Father said, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us. What's wrong with the sin mentality? Everybody think that they're such a big sinner. I mean, are you sinning right now? No, you're listening to the word of God. The Holy Spirit is right here. He's ministering unto you. He has you. And just as he has you right now, when you leave and throughout the course of the day and throughout the course of the week, he has you the same way. If you don't open no doors when the sin crouches at the door, you say, no, Satan, I am a property of God. I am the son of God. How does he come crouching at the door? It could be with sickness, disease, depression, and whatever else he has to offer. If you don't see Jesus offering the stuff in the Bible for the body of Christ, let's just shut him down. Amen? Let's not receive it. Very clear. It says, may they also be in us. I have given them the glory that you gave me. I mean, I don't even think I can make it out of this one text. Let's read that again. You need to put your eyes on the Word of God. So then when you put the eyes on the Word of God, it comes into your spirit. And then that when that the uncorruptible seed, the Word of God, gets planted in there, then God got something to water. I have given them the glory that you have given me. Not that I'm going to give them, you know. I have already given them to you, given them the glory. What are you doing with the glory that is in you? The power of God, the character of God, the wisdom of God, the very nature of God. It talks about this in the book of Peter, that of his divine nature, we all have received. Why are we thinking the way we're thinking? Why are we acting the way we're acting? Because we do not believe. That's the problem. I'm not talking about this church here. I'm talking about when you see others, that are acting goofy out there. I have given them the glory. When you know that you got the glory of God, you won't share that with nothing else. That's why I did the commandment. You know, you should not serve any other God. Once you know you got the glory of God, that's sufficient. That's more than enough. That they may be, and then again, when God repeats something in the same verse, it means something. And you know what it means? It means the very life and power of God that God has already given unto us. He wants us to walk and to be able to comprehend it. He mentions, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Then again, that they may be one as we are one. Are we getting that, my brothers and sisters? This ain't about being all cool. This ain't being about looking like your neighbor. This ain't about being like your mother and your father. This is about being like Christ. The Holy Spirit came to show us how to be a perfect son and a perfect daughter of God. That they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me. So that they may be brought to complete unity, going back to the word unity, complete unity is wholeness. He wants it to be united to him, stuck like glue to him. Everything that's, we've seen in the psalm, it talks about the ointment that ran down the beard of Aaron. Well, that ointment was prepared with different spices. It's an oil. And some of y'all are familiar with oils. They're refreshing. They smell good. And they make the skin, you know, give it some alleviation. But here we're talking about the presence of God, that unity that we got in him. It'll make us feel that refreshment from him on a day-to-day basis. And we won't want anything else. We don't want to feel filthy. We don't want to get dirty with the things that the world is offering, because we need to be a light. We need to be the hands and feet of God here on this earth for this hurting humanity. Obviously, Christians' unity is important to our Lord. If not, it wouldn't have been here in the scriptures. And this is talking about this unity that we're united to God as he is, so are we in this world. Galatians 2:14. But when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, this is Paul approaching the church, the Galatians, because he seen that they wasn't walking according to the truth of the gospel. John 8:32, and you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not in the hereafter, now. We have families, we got brothers and sisters, we got nephews, nieces, and that need us. We need to take our stand so God can work in and through us. Jesus not only prayed for unity, but he gave the reason that Christian unity is important. He asks that all believers may be in the Father and the Son, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. How is the world going to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he's the Savior of the world, when there is division and discontention among the body of Christ? What that brings is confusion. In the word of the Lord, as I studied him out, he says God is not the author of author of confusion. So every time I see confusion, I know that God is not in it. So we got to bring order back. You know, the wisdom of God, the truth of God. I know the truth sometimes hurt, but guess what? The truth will set you free. I thank God it was the truth of God that set me free. When the Christians are united in Christ, the world sees two things clearly. Jesus was sent by the Father, and Jesus loves his church. He loves his church, and Jesus loves us. He loves his sons and his daughters. He has great things in store for us if we can only believe. If we can only believe. My brothers and sisters, I stir up your mind by pure remembrance. Just believe. When the lady with the issue of blood was coming to get her miracle, there was a man, I think it was Jairus. He was with Jesus, and his daughter was at the point of death. And he wanted the master to go and heal the daughter before she died. And then somebody came by. Jesus, you know, was in his way, and his power was being manifested, and his glory was being able to touch and heal society. And the woman got her miracle. Somebody tapped the guy in the back and said, "Listen, man, forget. Stop bothering the master. You know, it's already too late. Your daughter has died." And a lot of times, I mean, we get to that point where we stop bothering the master. But no, the master is there awaiting patiently. The Bible says that describes him, he has feet of brass. That means, you know, he walks. He's like, you can't walk. If he was quick to walk, he would already came down here and stepped on earth. But he wants all humanity to be saved. We got to continue to be persistent. We got to be persistent. We prayed one time, it didn't happen. That doesn't mean that your miracle isn't on its way, that the miracle is not going to manifest. Because if you know what true prayer is, the Bible states in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 to 24, that when you pray, believe in it, you shall receive it. So you received it when you prayed it the first time. And now you're just thanking God for the manifestation. In Romans 15, 5 through 6, we see another more general reason that Christian unity is important. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. Now I'm going to go into unity amongst each other in the body of Christ. Remember, first and foremost, this unity doesn't begin unless you're united with Christ Jesus. You're in him and you're walking in him. You're not being conformed to his image and to the statue. Every morning, I just thank God that God is conforming me more and more to his image and to his statue. You're conforming yourself into something. Let the Holy Spirit conform you to his image. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Behold, to all those who believe in him, he gave what? Power to become the sons of God." And that's what I have, power to be a son of God. Pastor Justin was talking about the gate, you know, the man at the beautiful gate seeking for alms. And instead of that, he got legs. Huh? They told him what? "Such as I have." It wasn't that they was broke, that they didn't have any money, but they had something that he needed that was going to be perpetual. He said, "Such as I have, in the name of Jesus, you get up from that couch and walk." So we got that bonus today to say that to the man that needs to be lifted up from whatever situation he is. Yes, we do. Such as we have. We have so much, and we need to wake up to the reality, and we need to get stop being useful. One day they called me to account. There was a dead lady on a couch, And I said, such as I have in the name of Jesus, saying, you loosen up from this deaf and foul spirit. That woman woke up. That's why whenever Pastor Justin or Pastor Pat wants to feel free to call the people from the community to bring the folks whoever it is, I'm right here behind him. I'm saying, come on, Pastor, we can do this. Why? Because we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We can do all things that God has commanded us to do for godly living. First and foremost, this book must transform our lives and then the lives of others. We got to stop letting the enemy try to whisper in our ear, I can't do this, I can't do that. If that was the case, I wouldn't be standing here today. As I step through faith, now I'm in Madison, Florida, and I thank God this is my fulfilled purpose and call for my life. I was telling my wife this morning, I'm living a victorious life. She's here present. She can't say, oh, that hypocrite, he hits me every day. Oh, he cusses at me. Oh, he treats me like this and that. No. That's a daughter of God. You treat her like one. We got to treat each other like sisters and brothers. Highly esteem each other than ourselves. We need one another. We got different giftings. There's pastors, there's teachers, there's prophets, there's apostles, and evangelists. And most of them, the enemy has got them bottled down. No, we need to rise up. The Bible says if you're in Christ Jesus, he has raised you up and you're seated in heavenly places right where Christ Jesus with the same authority that Jesus had. The bottom line is God's glory. God's people should be speaking with one voice in glorifying God. My brothers and sisters, let's come to the Bible studies. Let's wash our minds with the word of God. So when I get up here and speak, you can be like they say, piggyback. Right after that, like when the sisters say, no, listen, man, I know that God can heal you. You're not saying, but. No, I seen so-and-so, and he believed that and he died. No. But what does the Lord say? Whose report are we going to believe? God is doing great things. Great things. There's people been here that's been attacked. We done prayed and now they by the grace of God, they healed, they're whole, they're well. My mother had almost a death experience. She didn't know. She didn't even remember that I went to the hospital. But I did. Because I went with the Holy Ghost and power. And I said, you dumb foul spirit that's holding my mother from not listening to me, from not seeing me, from not being able to walk. You loosen her. And today she's listening. She's probably listening on TV now. And she's walking and she's talking and she's testifying of the goodness of God. Do we believe? My brothers and sisters, we got to come into this unity. We got to come into this unity because God is outpouring the greater glory at the end. Right now, somebody called me, oh, there's a storm coming. I said, well, praise the Lord. I believe in peace be still. I still remember Jesus on the boat. You know, when he was going to the other side and the devil was anything that has to do with killing and destroying. Do we really believe the scriptures? Jesus didn't just say that and do that. Just for his benefit. He did it for our benefit. He knew that there was going to be storms. He knew that there was going to be winds. He knew that there was going to be tragedy. He knew that the devil was going to try to kill and steal and destroy. But he did certain things so we can renew our minds to see how God thinks and how God works. Let's work out of our newborn spirit with the power of the Holy Ghost that's in us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Christian unity comes with Christian maturity. It is always something that we strive to, it's something that we always strive to attain. Paul instructed us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:3, helping us toward that unity are the gifts of the Spirit. God has given each Christian different gifts and their exercise in the edification of the church leads to more and more unity. One purpose of the gift is that we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ain't that exciting? That we may attain the fullness of Christ. I want that more and more. Why? Because it's an offer. Why wouldn't I want it? I want everything that my Heavenly Father desires of me. My brothers and sisters, stir up your mind by pure remembrance of what God has written in the Scriptures. Get in the Scriptures and start claiming all His benefits. Forgetting not one of His benefits. Christians naturally form local communities in which no one needs to rejoice or suffer alone. It hurts me when I see somebody suffering in the body of Christ. That should be, we hurt with those. Why? Because we want things to change on their behalf. If they're sick, we hurt because we want to see them heal. If they're broke, we hurt because we want to see them prospering. If somebody don't got a job, we hurt because we want to see them have a job where they're not idle and spending time and giving their minds to fables. It hurts. It should hurt us to see, that's why Jesus came and he went into the temple. Where it was the house of the Lord. So people, a house of prayer. And he was consumed by what they was doing. And he went in there and threw the tables over. And he wanted to bring justice back, just as it was from the beginning. The house of prayer, my brothers and sisters, we're praying here, and the offer is open. And if I know some of y'all can make it, but make it a repetition, even at your house. Lord, I'm gonna pray. Even if it's 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Get back to prayer. Get back to just why? Because prayer is your relationship with God. You're talking to Him. It's monologue and dialogue. You're talking to Him and He's talking to you. He's directing you. He might not talk to you at the very second, but then later on, as you go out throughout the course of the day, boom, He gives you the direction and the answer you needed. So, my brothers, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to believe what Pastor Justin, when he brings the word of the Lord, he takes time to prepare and to feed us. I'm gonna finish up with a 2 Samuel, a couple more scriptures. 2 Samuel 22 and 3. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. In Him will I trust. I'm not going to trust a man. The Bible states that curses the man that trusts in a man and that makes man his arms to lean on. We need to trust God. In order to trust God, we got to know what is written in the Holy Word of God. He is my shield. He is my horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou shalt save me from violence. Can you say that today? A definition for Christian unity is a virtue. Virtue means behavior, showing high moral standards and values, conformity of life and conduct with the principles of morality. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Christian unity is a virtue, but there are some things that can and should limit unity. Listen to this very carefully. We don't pursue unity simply for the sake of unity. It is Christ and His truth that unite us scripturally. Okay? We are to separate from professed brothers and sisters in Christ who live in persistent, unrepentant sin. Matthew 18:15-17. Why? Because if not, you will be contaminated. A little leaven leavens the whole bunch. And that's why some Paul told the church at Galatians, who have bewitched you from believing the truth? These ears are not trash cans. You just can't dump anything in them. If you know me long enough, I will shut you up, or I will walk away from you, or I would not even recognize your presence around me. Why? Because if you don't have anything to edify, to exhort me, and to build me up as a believer, then you don't have anything to say. Okay, and this is what unity is all about. And you read the scriptures, write them down. 1 Corinthians 5:1-2, and read the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 5. And from those who teach false doctrine, Revelation 2:14-5. Watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your ways that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. This is a warning from the Lord, not me. If you read the scriptures, there's a lot of warning that the Lord gives us because he wants us to believe the truth of his majesty. So without prolonging this word of the Lord, my brothers and sisters, remember first the unity of the faith. Numbers 14:24. I want to end with the scriptures. Numbers 14:24. This is when Moses called Joshua and Caleb to go spy the land. And after spying, they came back with a whole bunch of, you know, there was about 12 of them that went in there, and only two came back with a good report. And in Numbers 14:24, it states that they came back, and they came back with a good report. They came back with a good report. How many know that the Word of God is a good report? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of what? Good news. Numbers 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had what? Another spirit with him. And this is what I want you to see today. We are of another spirit. We are of the spirit of the Most High God, the spirit that created the heaven, the earth, and the whole universe. That's what it was referring to them. Caleb and Joshua, they followed God very carefully. Are we following God very carefully to do all that he has commanded us to do? Yes, we are. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit which with him and have followed me, what? Fully. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. So will we be of that tribe, of that nation that has another spirit to fully believe the word of God and to not doubt in any of his promises. I want to pray for the body of Christ. I want to pray for everyone here under the sound of my voice. This is very important. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is the very nature of God from manifesting upon our lives. And we need to make it known. You will steal no more. We would conform to the image and to the statue of Jesus Christ. We will be empowered with the power of the Holy Ghost. And we will walk as sons and daughters of God. Amen. And if there's somebody here that's been probably pronounced they have received a bad report from the doctor, this is the day of your miracle. You just got to just sit there. You don't even got to come here. When we pray, you say, Lord, I believe and I receive. And I break the power of doubt and unbelief. I repent from wavering and thinking that whether you would heal me or not. And I just take my healing by faith. And if you don't have a job, you just thank God for a job. And if you don't have a bank account, you thank God for the bank account. And if you don't have a business, you thank God for a business. And whatever you need, the Bible says, we went through the scriptures for John 14:14, John 16:23, that whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe in it, you shall receive. Whatsoever you shall ask me in my name, I will do it. Do we believe? I curse sickness, I curse diabetes, I curse high blood pressures, I curse cancer, I curse every form of demonic attack over the body of Christ right now, and I loosen you from that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just come before your presence and we come boldly, Father God. We are your sons and we are your daughters and we believe your precious word. We believe that the Holy Spirit is in us, Father God, working in us mightily, Lord God, and conforming us to that image, Father God. Forgive us, Father God, for unbelieving your power. Forgive us for not believing who you say that we are, Father God. And from today on, Father God, we will be empowered. We will be encouraged to get in the word, Father God, and stir up ourselves to pure remembrance of what you think about us. For you said that your thoughts are not our thoughts and your ways are not our ways, Father God. So, Father God, let us find your thoughts and your ways for our lives and let our lives line up to that, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of sickness over New Testament Christians, the church, Father God, and not over just this church, over the body of Christ, Father God, globally, Father God. Satan, you would have no say-so. You would have no right, for your power has been destroyed over the body of Christ. For Jesus has come and he has stripped you of all power over the body of Christ. That the power, I pray that the body of Christ will open the eyes of their understanding and their eyes will be enlightened to the truth, Father God, that you have set us free from all these things, Father God. And your covering and your blessing of protection is upon us, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I bless every family, every youth, every children, Father God, that's not present here, Father God, and I pray that your spirit right now, wherever they may be, Father God, will convict them of righteousness, Father God, and will, Father God, convict them, Father God, of who they are in Christ Jesus, Father God, and that they will repent, Father God, and then this week, Father God, that there will be a turning around and that there will be a shifting and that your Holy Spirit, Father God, will just recreate and renew their mind, Father God, and their steps, Father God, for your steps are ordered, Father God, by you, Father God, and we bless you, Father God, and I thank you for every miracle right now, Father God, that you have, Father God, bestowed upon this body. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
So much. We are blessed. Amen. Amen. You received that word this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. You are dismissed to go. You have a